Welcome to Commons and Chronicles, the podcast where we talk about all the best Creative Commons and reusable open game license content. If you need resources for your creative writing, game design, or you just love lore, Commons and Chronicles is for you. Hey everyone, this is Klaatu, and I am not a lawyer. I just wanted to say that right off the bat because this week I'm going to take a little bit of a break from what we usually talk about, the lore and fun stuff, and cover some of the technicalities that this podcast indirectly deals with by, well, its very existence. And that, of course, is the issue of licensing. And this isn't a fun topic. It's not a pleasant topic. It's a really boring topic, actually, so I'm going to try to make it short and sweet and simple. And I don't know, maybe I'll try to make it fun as well. Not really sure how I can do that. But remember, first of all, I am not a lawyer. So this is me reading license. Well, I'm not going to literally just read a license to you. But this is me interpreting licenses. And it's based on the research that I have done. I am not a lawyer. I'm not really a publisher, per se. I mean, I have published things, but I'm not, obviously, a publishing house. So this, if you're, you know, don't listen to this and take what I'm saying as legal advice, certainly, and don't base anything that you do on my understanding, but let it lead you to doing your own research and maybe consulting your own professional opinion people, whether they're lawyers or your publisher or whatever. So, okay, so why do we care about licensing? First of all, at your game table on Thursday night or whenever you game, you don't. You don't have to worry about licensing. If you bought the book, the Player's Handbook or the Core Rule Book or whatever you're using, if you obtained that in some legal fashion with either currency or trade or bartering or downloaded it for free because the author is offering it for free, if it's a free game system, then that's it. That's all the license you need. You have permission to use all of that stuff. Now, I think, and this is where it gets really super gray area, I think that there is an implied, there's certainly an, maybe it's not so gray, actually. I was going to say there is an implied understanding between you and the game publishers that even if you didn't purchase the book, like the hardback book, you can still use the concepts within it, right? Because let's say you get together with a group of four people or five people for a game, and your dungeon master has the player's handbook, and he or she puts that in the middle of the table and says, there's the player's handbook if anyone needs to look up a spell or an ability or whatever, or not an ability, but a feat or a skill or a spell, there it is. And everyone around the table can borrow that book for a moment to look up a spell or a skill or whatever, and that's fine. Maybe you have a copy at home. Maybe you don't. There's this implication that that's okay, that sharing to that degree is completely acceptable. And I don't think anyone at Paizo or Wizards of the Coast or any of the other gaming companies, well, certainly not those two, because they publish under the Open Game License, which we'll talk about in a moment here. But I don't think anyone would argue with that idea, that you're allowed to share information about the game in that kind of context. Now, if your game master goes, obviously, and just photocopies the entire player's handbook, or is crazy enough to photocopy the entire core rulebook, which would actually be quite expensive, from Pathfinder. Sorry, player's handbook is D&D, core rulebook is Pathfinder. Then obviously if they just photocopied the whole thing and had it bound and gave it to you, that's not so cool. Yeah, I mean, it's not cool on lots of levels. It's an insult to the authors, but it's also not supporting the game system that you really, really like. So that wouldn't be cool, and that's violating several things. Now, that's just at the game table, and so generally speaking, you do not have to worry about a license. There is no question about, well, where does this lore come from? Am I allowed to mention this god's name or this spell by name? Of course you are. It's completely, that's what they expect, that's why they wrote it, that's what they want you to do. The only time you should really be worried about licensing, and worried in the traditional sense of looking over your shoulder to make sure that no one's going to come and arrest you because you're doing something wrong, maybe not arrest you, but sue you, is if you are redistributing stuff that you have created for gaming. Or not even for gaming. Maybe you're writing a book and you decided to set it in some fantastical land and your favorite fantasy world is Forgotten Realms. Then that would be against several policies. So that's when you would want to learn about concern yourself about licensing. So before we talk about licensing, we have to really briefly touch on what copyright is. So copyright, again, I am not a lawyer. Copyright is basically a legal definition of who created a work. Now, there are some exceptions, like maybe you got hired by someone to produce some work under someone else's copyright. Maybe you produced something and decided for one reason or another that you want to assign copyright to something else, maybe another entity that you trust or a person for some reason that you trust. Those such things do exist. They happen. They happen frequently in some industries. So that's not really, really crazy. I think there's probably sometimes a legal case that someone could make that even if you consciously work for someone else's copyright, you actually still legally retain, you know, like technically retain copyright, but that's getting into legal stuff and it's not really worth talking about. But point is, generally speaking, you always retain your copyright. And that is true of everything we're going to talk about from this point forward. So I'm not talking about copyright, in other words. Copyright, the right to do something with a work. If you created something and it is all your original content, then you have copyright over that thing. So none of this, the rest of this discussion affects the reality and sanctity, if you will, of your copyright, okay? Copyrights do technically, theoretically expire, which, for instance, is why we have H.P. Lovecraft, the whole universe that he created, we have access to, well, not the whole universe. The bulk of the universe that H.P. Lovecraft created has fallen out of copyright. And so we have access to that, and that's why you see so many games with the Cthulhu spin on it. No one's paying royalties to any Lovecraft estate or anything like that to use the name Cthulhu. And if someone's using the different, like a city that he wrote about, or an asylum that he mentions, or whatever, that's all just, it's out there, it's outside of copyright, it is public domain. And the theory there is that after a certain amount of time, especially once the author passes on, it doesn't really make sense to continue to pay that author, a dead person, for ideas that have now proliferated probably so thoroughly that it's basically part of the culture. And that's how copyright is supposed to work. There's a huge exception to this where it doesn't work like that. And that's more or less why we had to come up with a whole bunch of licensing schemes, or it's one reason that we had to come up with a whole bunch of licensing schemes. Now, licenses, you know what a license is. You give license to someone to do something, right? So if you're loaning someone your lawnmower over the weekend, you are essentially giving them a license to use your lawnmower. You paid for it, you own it, you maintain it, but you are giving them license. You are giving them permission. You're giving them license to use that object. And there's this understanding that they're going to use it in good faith. They're going to care for it well. They're not going to claim that it is theirs later after the weekend. They're not going to say, what do you mean? I have to give you your lawnmower back. It's mine. No, they've just got a license to use it for some allotted time. And there's this expectation that they're going to return it or take care of it or whatever the license has been. And obviously, a lawnmower is a lot different than an idea, but you sort of get the idea. That's what a license is. And I think a lot of times we forget what license actually means because we think of, oh, there's a license like my driver's license, or there's a license like this big document of small print that I'm supposed to read. Well, a license is just you giving permission to someone else to do something. So in 2000-something or another, I think it was 2001, Wizards of the Coast got this idea that the whole open source movement of, actually it was 2000, that the whole open source movement was in software was gaining a lot of traction and seemed to make a whole lot of sense. And they decided that it might be something that they could apply to their game system. And we'll get into what that means exactly as part of what the Open Game License is, but that's where the Open Game License comes from. The OGL is what it's called. And they published it in 2000, and it's pretty much been the same ever since. It's the version that we're on right now is version 1.0a, 1.0a, and it is one page long. So as licenses go, it's actually not that bad. I'm not going to read it to you aloud, but I'm just saying, I mean, it's in the back of practically all of your favorite gaming books, assuming you're a D&D and Pathfinder gamer, and some other ones. I mean, it's certainly used by other systems, but those are the ones that I'm very familiar with. So you can read it on your own, and you should if you're listening to this episode and you decide that you want to learn more about this stuff. The best way is simply to go to the source, and that is the Open Game License. So read up on that. But I'm going to decode it a little bit. The Open Game License specifically allows you, it gives you license to use the mechanics, the maths, and the base level concepts, I know that's a fuzzy term, of a game system. And I'm going to give you an example that I think makes it pretty clear. So I'm just cracking open a book by Cobalt Press. It's a great company that does a lot of really cool work. And here's one called Flickering... Now let's do this one because it's shorter. Cloak of Shadow. It's a first-level illusion. And this is in their publication, the Deep Magic 5th Edition Illumination book. So this is Cloak of Shadow, and it's called first. It's a first-level spell. It is, the casting time is 1, bonus action, range, self, components, V for visual, duration, concentration up to 1 minute. And then it says, as the description, it says, you draw upon the endless night to cloak yourself in shadow, giving you advantage on dexterity, stealth, checks against creatures that rely on sight. Cool, right? So that's a spell. The components of that spell are, there's the title of the spell, right? Cloak of Shadow. And then there's the mechanics of the spell. So the mechanics are, there's the casting time. Well, there's the fact that it's first level, and it's the casting time is 1 bonus action, the range, the components that it requires, and the duration, and the idea of what that spell does. Not the literal text typed on the page describing what the spell does, but the concept of what the spell does. So if I had to summarize it to you, I wouldn't read that description that I just read you. I would say, oh yeah, it gives you an advantage on dexterity checks against creatures, you know, on visual dexterity checks. There you go. That's the description. So all of that, the out of all of that, the mechanics are open, because the Open Game License covers mechanics. So that's the first level, the fact that it's a first level spell, the fact that it has casting time of something, range, components, and duration. And then just the paraphrasing of the description would be Open Game License, because that's the idea of the spell, that's what it does, that is the mechanic of the spell. And that's it, that's what I could use. So if I wanted to then go write a game module, an adventure, where this spell, the Cloak of Shadow, played a really important role. Maybe it was something that someone was going to gain as a reward. Maybe even like a non-magic user or something. It's like a big part of the game, maybe. And you're going to gain it as a reward from this wizard that you have to go find, and he's a long-lost wizard, and you have to go on this, you know, full book-long quest to find this guy. So this is a big deal that you're going to get this thing, this spell. And so if it was in the book and I really, really wanted to use it and I had to use it, I would be able to, without any kind of exception, I could use the level, I could use the mechanics of it, I could write a new description for myself, so rather than saying you draw upon the endless night to cloak yourself in shadow, I might say you draw upon the power of shadow to cloak yourself in darkness, giving you an advantage on dexterity against sight. Something like that. That's a pretty good paraphrase. And then for the title, I would not call it Cloak of Shadow. I would have to call it Cloak of Darkness, or Dark Cloak, or Shadow Fold, or something like that. Whatever you come up with, you would have to come up with your own name. You might be thinking, well, why do I have to come up with my own name? Why do I have to paraphrase the text? I thought this was an open game license. Well, it is. But there's this thing called product identity. And if you have a copy of the open game license, which sometimes is in the back of a gaming book, it kind of depends on what book it is, but a lot of the third-party stuff will include it because that's kind of what they rely on. If you look at Section 7, it says, use of product identity. You agree not to use any product identity. And then it says a lot more after that, but that's the crux of it. The owner of any product identity used in open game content shall retain all rights, title, and interest in and to that product identity. Okay, well, what is product identity? There's an answer to that right in the license, at least in part. So if you, in the open game license, if you look at section 1, clause E, as in echo, it says product identity means product and product line names, logos, and identifying marks, including trade dress, artifacts, creatures, characters, stories, storylines, plots, thematic elements, dialogue, incidents, language, artwork, symbols, designs, depictions, likenesses, formats, poses, concepts, themes, and graphic, photograph, and other visual or audio representations, names and descriptions of characters, spells, enchantments, personalities, teams, personas, likenesses, and special abilities, places, locations, environments, creatures, equipment, magical or supernatural abilities or effects, logos, symbols, or graphic designs, and any other trademark or registered trademark clearly identified as product identity by the owner of the product identity, and which specifically excludes the open game content. So I think you probably caught at least me saying spells in there. So it said the names and descriptions of spells are defined as product identity, meaning that while the mechanical effect of a spell is open under the open game license, the name of it and the thing, the flourish that some author somewhere had to come up with in order to describe those mechanics, those are copywritten, and those are not licensed for reuse. Now, again, at your gaming table, you can do whatever you want. It doesn't matter. Nobody cares. You bought the book. You have access to it. Whatever. You're fine. You're good. You don't have to worry about this. But if you are writing this stuff down and you think, oh, I need to do a stat block for a monster, and so I'll just pull something out of the monster manual or out of the bestiary or whatever, then you have to stop and figure out what the mechanics are versus what the work that some poor writer had to do to come up with yet another description to make it sound interesting and a cool title and all that other stuff. That is not necessarily being licensed to you, and certainly is not being licensed to you under the default permissions of the open game license. Now, having said that, the default permission set of a product identity may have, as it said itself, additions or exclusions defined by the publisher, by the author, publisher, whoever, whatever person is responsible or whatever entity is responsible for putting a book into the public. So, for example, just to stay with this, the same exact example, we just spoke about this Cloak of Shadow spell, which we are renaming Shadowfold and rewriting. Well, if we go all the way to the top of this book, it's Deep Magic, Illumination Magic is what it's called, and it's by Kobold Press. So if we go to the front of this book, we can, the title page states product identity. And it says it right there, product identity. The following items are hereby identified as product identity, as defined in the Open Game License version 1.0a, section 1e, which is exactly what I told you, and are not open content. All trademarks, registered trademarks, proper names, characters, place names, new deities, etc., dialogue, plots, story elements, locations, characters, artworks, sidebars, and trade dress. Elements that have been previously designated as open game content are not included in this declaration. Okay? And then it continues to say open game content. The open content in this book includes Illumination Arcane Tradition, the Star and Shadow Feats, and spells. No other portion of this work may be reproduced in any form without permissions. So it says right there, open game content, spells. Meaning that, in fact, if we wanted to use these spells defined in this section, we actually could use the spells as written. Cloak of Shadow, we could use the title, we could use the mechanics, which we could use anyway, and we could use the description of the spell, the beautiful quote, you draw upon the endless night to cloak yourself in shadow, all of that stuff, that's fair game. You can copy that and use it in your game product. So back to that adventure that we're writing in fiction, and we want this Cloak of Shadow spell to be the big goal at the end of the thing. You're going to get it from the wizard if you save, or if you find him and then save him or whatever. We could just do that. We could say, here's what you get as a reward, the Cloak of Shadow spell. It's a first level spell. Here's the mechanics of it. You have to get the casting time is one bonus action. The range is yourself. The components are visual. The duration is concentration up to 1 minute. And here's what it does. You draw upon the endless night, blah, blah, blah. And we can do that. It's fine. Now, I think, I don't believe that this is built into the open game license. I'm pretty sure it's not, but I think that it's sort of a decent thing to do, to reference where you found that spell, to give its authors credit, essentially, which I cannot stress enough, and it's silly that I have to stress it, but a lot of people just don't think about that sort of thing, and they think, well, it says it's free, so I'm going to use it, and it doesn't say anything about me having to tell anyone who came up with it, so I'm not going to give credit, and that's just a jerk thing to do, and it's that kind of thing that forces us all to worry about this stupid stuff in the first place. If people were decent human beings, I think, in relation to all this kind of thing, like the spirit of sharing, I honestly do not believe that we would have to sit around and talk for half an hour about licensing. That said, I don't really think that it's usually a person who does that sort of thing. I think it's I think it's companies, and I think it's groups of people who feel like they can profit off of someone else's work, and, you know, kind of do things in a dishonest and sort of unethical, well, not sort of, an unethical way. Now, we could also get into a discussion of why they think that, and maybe their needs in life are not being met on one level, on some level, so that maybe another issue, but I don't think that's really the topic here, so I'm not going to talk about it. But point is, if you use something from Open Game License, I think it's worth saying, hey, you know, this is a great spell, and it comes from Deep Magic Illumination Magic, and it's by Kobold Press, and you should go purchase it, because that's the decent thing to do. And you want Kobold Press to, you know, you want them to continue making cool stuff, because believe me, they're an amazing company. I've bought several of their products, and it's pretty amazing stuff. And speaking of being decent and giving credit where credit is due, I probably should mention also the Creative Commons, because that's part of the name of the podcast anyway. Commons, that's what I'm talking about. So the Creative Commons license is what they call a copyleft license. And again, I want to reiterate two things. I am not a lawyer, and copyright is not affected by anything that we're talking about. Copyright is still retained. You still retain copyright of something that you publish with the Open Game License. you still retain copyright of something that you publish under the Creative Commons license. These are licenses, so these are things that sit on top of a copyright and allow people to do other stuff with your work. So Creative Commons is a license. It's a way for you to grant people permission to use your work under specific conditions. So it's something that, like the Open Game License, I guess, it says, if you do these things, then you can do that, or you can do this, as long as you also do such and such. There are a couple of different versions of the Creative Commons license, or variations of it, I should say, and that's because there are different ways that you might want to give license to people to use your work. So if you go to creativecommons.org/choose, then there are, it's literally a two-question quiz, let's call it, and it will tell you which license you could use in order to give permission to people to use your work. So the first question is, allow adaptations of your work to be shared? And your possible answers are yes, no, or yes, as long as others share alike. So I'm going to put in yes, as long as other people share alike. I think that's pretty fair. And then the second question is, allow commercial use of your work? And I'm personally going to say yes, because I don't care if someone does some kind of variation of my work and then decides to go sell their variation. I mean, as long as they're allowing other people to do the same thing to their work, which is the first clause of my license, they must share alike, then I don't care if they make a buck off of their work as well. I think that's fine. And I'm not really in a pinch for money, so I don't really need to make a cut of that, so I'm just going to do that. Now, if you had problems with that, and some people do, then you would say no, and you would have a different license. But I'm going to say yes, and it tells me that I have now selected, the results of these choices are that I would have an attribution share alike 4.0 international license, meaning that I could tell people that they can modify my, where they can modify, share, and use, of course, my work. As long as when they modify my work, they then share it with others under the same conditions. So they couldn't take my work, change it, and then not let other people change their work. I don't think that's really fair, so I disallow that. And there are different variations of that, and I've used different variations. There's even a Creative Commons license that says that they can do, that people can do anything they want with it. It's a Creative Commons Zero license. And they don't have to give me credit for something. They can use it. They can take credit for it. They can do whatever they want. I do not care. And it just depends on what work it is that I am releasing. So an example of this is my D100 treasure table that I published on RPG Now or Drive-Through RPG or something like that. And it's, as it sounds, it's a table of 100 items of treasure, because I have found in my own games that when players come across a treasure chest that hasn't been written down anywhere yet, I never know what to throw in the treasure chest. Or maybe it's not even a treasure chest. Maybe they've killed a bandit on the road, and they decide to search the bandit. I don't know what to put on the bandit. So I roll a D100 a couple of times and select these items off of this table. And I published that table under a CC by SA license. So that means, again, they can modify, they can share it, as long as they let other people modify and share their variation as well. Which in theory means, if I find their variation, I could integrate it back into mine, which would be great, because right now the treasure table, honestly, it's a little bit bland. It could come up, I wouldn't mind having more items on there, but in the afternoon that I spent on it, that's how far I got. So that's a perfect use for a Creative Commons license, I think, because while I could say, oh, this is an open game license, the open game license doesn't really do a whole lot for a table, you know? I mean, like, it covers the table, but in theory, unless I explicitly say otherwise, all those, if I give a name of an item on a treasure table, they couldn't use that name. They would have to rename something that I've named, you know? So if I came up with some kind of some kind of totem that you know, a religious item that you find, and I have some fancy name for it, open game license, they would probably be safer to assume that name is my product, part of my product identity, and they would not be able to use that in something that they then published. So you have two different licenses that are really, really good for game content. There's the open game content for all of those things that you have numbers and numbers of rounds and duration, visual spell components, materials, all that kind of stuff where you want people to be able to use this idea that you have in their work, but you don't necessarily want them to be able to use certain elements that you've invented and that you want some kind of further ownership over, because maybe you don't want people muddling around in your canon. You don't want them writing something about a sword that is particularly important to you. Maybe some kind of Excalibur sword that in your world, in your universe, is everything is pinned upon this one thing. You wouldn't want that to show up in someone else's story where someone just tosses it aside, or it rusts, or it breaks, or something like that. That wouldn't work so well with your canon. And so you wouldn't want that to happen. So they could not call it then Excalibur, or whatever fancy name you came up with. Excalibur would not work, obviously, but if you had some fancy name for this thing, then you wouldn't want them to be able to tarnish that name. And so you would retain that as your product identity. But the fact that this sword cuts through ice without any problem, or gives the player resistance to electricity because it absorbs electricity and nullifies it, or it absorbs electricity and then can deal that electricity back out because it stores it within itself. That kind of stuff, yeah, you would want to share that because that's part of the mechanic that you came up with. So that's the open game license. It's perfect for that sort of thing. And of course, within the open game license, or external of the open game license, actually, as an addendum to it, you could say, well, actually, the name of this sword is okay to use, even though it's technically product identity. I don't care if you use it, go for it. Then you can say that. You can say, hey, product identity excludes the name of this sword, or whatever, the name of this horse, whatever it is that you want to open up a little bit more. Creative Commons deals, I think, generally more with the story content, the flavor. So if you've created a really cool town, you love this town, you think it's a great town, you want people to be able to use every single detail of the town. You want them to be able to use the marketplace, the name of the fishmonger, the fact that it is set on the tower, the peak of a mountain that seems to be toppling over, and the whole town will probably be dead in 30 years unless this magician can come up with a spell to prop it up somehow, as long as he gets the certain components. You love this idea. You think that this, you want to hear more stories set in this town. You want to hear what happens to this town. So you open it up. That's perfect for Creative Commons, because that way you wouldn't have to sit there with the open game license and make all these other exclusions. Now you could just say there is no product identity content in this work. And that would alleviate the concern of product identity. I just happen to find that for creative pursuits, like people who are writing story stuff rather than game mechanic stuff, the Creative Commons license is pretty common. And so it's nice. You could even dual license it. You can do that. You could say, this is open game license. There is no product identity. And you have the option to also just publish it under the Creative Commons by SA, you know, whatever license. It's fine. So that way people could choose. And that way you don't have to worry about, oh, this chapter is open game license, but this chapter is Creative Commons, and that gets really confusing and messy. So I like to give people options in some cases. That is it. That is everything I know about licensing. Remember, I am not a lawyer. I'm going to end with a quote from a really great article that I happened to read on a site called opensource.com. Free culture is a redundant term that shouldn't be part of our vocabulary. Culture, conceptually, is an organic process. It's the way a society develops and grows from one person to another. It's about the interactions and the ideas that people share. In fact, It's a unique product of the modern world that culture is not free by default. If you want to combat that and prefer to share your culture with your fellow human beings across the globe, support Creative Commons, and I'll just insert here, and Open Game License, by contributing to it, using it, and supporting those who do. Thanks for listening. I'll talk to you next time with more Open Lore. That's it for this week's episode. Thank you very much for listening. My name is Klaatu. You can reach me via email at klaatu@member.fsf.org. You can also usually catch me in IRC as not Klaatu. I'm on the Freenode network. Thank you very much for listening, and I'll talk to you next time.